Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just 15 bucks a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hang on to your balls. It's time for the Horror Hangout Podcast.
Welcome to Horror Hangout, a podcast where two bearded film fans watch the 50 best horror movies ever and talk about them. My name is Luke Condor with a K, and I'm joined by Mr.
Ben Errington.
How are you doing, Ben? Are you all right?
I'm very well, Luke.
Have you had a nice
Condor
week?
Condor with a K. I've had a nice week. How's your week been?
Been all right. It's quite tiring. I was talking about this to Dan. I was at work the other day and I fell asleep for half an hour.
No way.
Well, like, there's only two of us in the office. And
that's fine then.
Ed went early. And I was the only man in the office for the last hour. Just fell asleep for half an hour.
Last man in the office. How did it feel though when you woke up? Did you feel like...
Amazing. Oh, yeah, pretty amazing. Yeah. So I needed it. I definitely needed it. Yeah. What about you? How have you been sleeping?
I've been sleeping well. I haven't been falling asleep at work. I don't think I get away with that, unfortunately. There's about 28 people in my office. So I think if I fell asleep, someone would just pour hot coffee down my back or something.
Very mean.
Or slap me across the face.
Yeah.
Probably. Yeah, so I've been sleeping all right, you know, sporadically. I don't think I sleep that much. I always think I don't need much sleep, but then I know one day it's all going to catch up with me.
It's all going to catch up. That's death. That's what happens when you die.
Exactly. That's when you die. So it's like, I wish I slept more because now I'm dead.
Yeah. Speaking about
death. And I can sleep forever.
Speaking about death and dead things. So last week we talked about Kill List. It was a good film. We both enjoyed it very muchly. And tonight we're talking about The Evil Dead. The first one, the original, not 2013 remake, not Evil Dead 2. Not Army of Darkness, not Ash vs. Evil Dead, the Evil Dead. I think it's 1983. Why don't you tell us a bit about the film, Ben?
Well, Luke, I'll tell you a little bit about the film. So The Evil Dead is a 1981. Got it wrong there, mate. Come on then,
bloody,
man.
Bloody hell.
1981 American supernatural horror film written and directed by Sam Raimi. And executive produced by Raimi and Bruce Campbell, who also stars alongside Ellen Sandvais and Betsy Baker. And the synopsis is five friends travel to a cabin in the woods where they unknowingly release flesh-possessing demons.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, is that it? Okay, cool.
That's it, mate.
It sounds lovely. So Empire, the magazine of which we are taking this list from, had this to say: the ultimate experience in grueling horror, in quotation marks, proclaimed the end credits. Hubris? Not really. Some commenters believe the remake wasn't funny enough, but the last in the Evil Dead franchise only really arrived with the Splatstick sequel. Here, first time out, what we have is an unrelenting and often genuinely frightening oral and visceral assault with only the occasional easy-to-miss quip to diffuse attention. We can't bury Shelley. She's our friend, muses the shell-shocked Bruce Campbell, surveying a still-twitching, dismembered corpse. That bit's pretty gruesome. The minuscule budget and claymation effects only add to the unsettling atmosphere. Rotten Tomatoes give it 95% fresh, 70% on Metacritic. And what's your initial thoughts? Have you seen this one before?
Yeah, yeah, I've seen this before. I think my first ever experience of Evil Dead or The Evil Dead was Evil Dead 2.
Yeah.
Which I think is a lot of people's experience. And I think for a long time, even though I knew that film was Evil Dead 2, I kind of got the two, they blurred into one. Now, I know because there's a lot of similarities between them. I know Evil Dead 2 kind of like goes over some of Evil Dead. Is that right? I think it goes over
this is mental. So Evil Dead 2, even though it's called Evil Dead 2, is a sort of parody remake of The Evil Dead. The Evil Dead is a horror film. Like it's got some black comedy in it, but Evil Dead 2 is a proper horror comedy. I'm the same as you. I saw Evil Dead 2. I've seen Evil Dead 2 so many times. It's one of my favorite films. So it was weird to see this one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly. Was it Sam Raimi did Evil Dead 2 as well?
Yeah, so it's all Sam Raimi. Apart from the remake.
Was it almost like he's like, I've got more of a budget now, so I'm going to essentially tell the same story, but do exactly what I wanted to do with it originally without any budget constraints, or not any, but without as many?
Maybe. That's what Kat said. She said, like, some artists like to, they don't feel like they did it right the first time, so they like to go back and do it again. But this is so strange. Like, this is going to be very difficult for us to talk about this and review it within the correct context, because our context is, this is the prototype of Evil Dead 2.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like, I don't know, it's just like, I know Evil Dead 2 so well. There's so many bits in that film that I love, like, and I quote, and like, my hand, give me back. Like, there's so many things in that film. And then watching this one, I don't know how I felt about it. Did you enjoy it?
I enjoyed it, but as I said, because I mean, Evil Dead 2, I wouldn't say it was one of my favourite films, but I do know it really well. Like, I've seen it numerous times, where I think with this version of the Evil Dead, the original Evil Dead, I've only ever seen it once.
Yeah, me too.
Which is when I bought the Blu-ray, like, trilogy. Probably
weird to call it a trilogy as well. Years ago. So weird to call it a trilogy.
It's the weirdest trilogy ever.
Yeah.
It's the weirdest trilogy of all time. It's like, we got this one, we got this one, and then we got Army of Darkness, which takes place in medieval time.
I'm trying to explain Evil Dead to my friend Tom, because he's only seen Army of Darkness. And I was trying to say, okay, so there's Evil Dead, there's Evil Dead 2, which is sort of a remake of Evil Dead. There's Army of Darkness, which has two endings. Then there's Ash vs. Evil Dead, which is a sort of a sequel of one of the endings of Army of Darkness, but they're on about the other ending being like an alternate dimension timeline where they might meet at some point. Since it's insane, it's absolutely bonkers. But I love it. I absolutely love it. The franchise.
I do love the franchise. This one, I think, was more of a difficult watch, simply because it isn't as accomplished as Evil Dead 2 in a lot of different ways. Not just the effects, but the acting, the music, the cinematography.
Ash is a monobrow.
Did you notice Ash's shoes as well?
What? No, I didn't. What shoes?
Man's rocking some interesting little plimsolls going on. go back to it just to see Ash's shoes, really, mate. I mean, it was 80s.
Yeah. I asked on Instagram if anyone had any, like, if anyone wanted to say about The Evil Dead. A guy called M. Brad Restless said, I think it's a true classic and helped shape what would become common aspects of the 80s horror flicks. Very original stuff, and starts Raimi's ability to make slapstick and the outright humorous, creepy and gory. I think he's getting a little bit confused with Evil Dead 2.
All right, okay.
The Evil Dead, there isn't that much slapstick. The only thing I can think of is the amount of gore and blood. Like, it's like ludicrous, and like all the creepy bits where the deadites are just like singing in their sort of crazy, creepy, weird voices. That's sort of humorous, but it's scary. Like, it's not slapstick, I don't think.
I think some of the violence could possibly be misconstrued as slapstick, maybe a little bit, but yeah. I mean, it's not. I don't think that's the intention of it. It's not intended to be like when people get knocked about and stuff, then it does seem a little bit slapstick.
Yeah, but I thought this one's a proper horror film with some black comedy elements. Well, I think this is the definitive Cabin in the Woods franchise.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it is. It's the original Cabin in the Woods type film, and well, I'm sure there's bound to be something before that, but it is essentially the original, the definitive Cabin in the Woods film. When I think of a Cabin in the Woods film, it's the first one I think of.
Yeah, the evil book in the basement. The kids, they're smoking weed or having fun. Yeah, it's just the it's the prototype of it. It's what I mean. Maybe maybe this happened in older films. I don't know, but
I mean, because we're looking at it after like another 30 odd years of cinema.
Yeah,
is that right?
Nearly 40,
even more than that.
Nearly 40. Be like 35 years. Yeah,
nearly 40 years of cinema, and we've seen so many different horror movie tropes. It almost feels a bit a bit cliche. Which is a strange way of sort of saying about a film like The Evil Dead, which came out in 1981, and you know a lot of this stuff wasn't cliche.
Yeah.
A lot of this stuff was original. So looking back on it with 40 years worth of hindsight is probably not the best way to watch this film.
Yeah. So
possibly.
So far, this film, I sad to say, but I've enjoyed this the least out of the three films we've watched so far.
Yeah, I'm probably with you there. I'm probably with you there.
But okay, so let's talk about the story and the key players. So again, one of the listeners who listened to the last show, no, the first show even, said we should do a little bit where we just talk about the main characters in the story. So Ash, played by Bruce Campbell, actually a bit of like a non-character in the first 25 minutes, I thought. Like, it's like he didn't really do that much. It was sort of pointing towards the other guy, Scott, who was the sort of the loud... brash
he's the jock.
Yeah,
he's the jock, man.
The jock, yeah. He was doing all the stuff. He was opening the cabin. He was the guy who booked the cabin where they're all going to stay. I don't know if that was like a conscious decision by Sam Raimi to like make it look like he was going to be the main character. I don't know, but Ash has got the screen presence. when he comes into his own, he's got the screen presence.
Yeah, I mean for a while, well, for probably like maybe a third, maybe even longer than that, maybe like two thirds of the film. It wasn't that he was like a non-character as such, but he was kind of like, this ain't the Ash I know.
Exactly.
What's he playing at?
Yeah.
What's he playing at?
He was like shy.
Come on, Ash. He was shy and he was like, he didn't know what to do and he was terrified. I mean, obviously, that's in terms of Ash's character arc, it's nice to see this this sort of like early stage of it, definitely. Because for me, it's something I'm not really familiarized too much with the character. I guess you forget what he was before he became... a fucking badass.
Especially when you watch Ash versus Evil Dead, and now he's the ultimate version of Ash. Like the quips are so on point, like catching the chainsaw on his wrist, like in midair. Like he's full on Ash now. But it's so weird to see him in this sort of shell of himself. So the other main characters, it's quite a small cast to be honest. So Cheryl, who is Ash's girlfriend. We've got Linda, who is Scott's girlfriend, the other guy, and Shelley, who's Ash's sister, who is the victim of a terrible tree-based attack in the woods. Famous scene. We won't go to that just yet. Do you want to start off with a story? Like what essentially happens?
Yeah, so these guys are just on their way to a lovely little cabin in the woods and they're driving there and they go over a bridge, which someone utters a cliche line, "This bridge is solid as a rock."
And then the bridge starts
to fall apart.
Yeah.
In any film, when someone says it's solid as a rock, you know for a fact shit's going to go down. Someone's going to fall apart. Someone's going to get hurt.
Yeah.
So I mean, in terms of the plot, it's pretty straightforward. There's nothing too complicated going on here. So how many of them? Five.
Yes.
Five friends go to a cabin in the woods where they're staying for what reason? Just a little bit of a getaway.
They don't even explain it. I think it's just a weekend away. Nice little weekend in the woods.
Why wouldn't you have a nice little weekend in the woods? I mean, come on.
Full day at work and you want to, you know, just get away for a bit.
Yeah, and it's ruined by possession, demon possession. So there's a book of the dead. What's the book of the dead called again? It's called
Necronomicon.
Necronomicon.
Yeah.
Have you been practicing that? Necronomicon. Yeah, so there's a Necronomicon, and they find a recording from some.
It's not like him and his wife, like archaeologists, and they've been to the ruins of Kandar, and he recorded the incantation. So Scott, the jock, takes the tape player upstairs and plays it, and he's also, I don't know if you noticed this, but Scott says the most. Like over the top things. There's like,
yeah.
So they start playing the tape, and then Shelley, who's Ash's sister, She's like, no, don't do it. This is making me feel bad. Like, so the tape is like doing this incantation. He's basically said it's going to raise the dead and they're going to possess the living. So he's trying to do it. And then she says, don't do it. Stop the tape. And he goes, I'm going to break your face. like it's so out of nowhere. I'm going to break your face. And like he said it like it's a joke. I was thinking maybe in the script that was written in a sort of more of a dry humor way. But the way he says it, it's like, he's joking, but he really does want to break your face.
That totally passed me by. So maybe that's just totally normal for me to appear in a conversation the way it did.
Yeah.
All I remember is the first girl who's possessed. What's her name again?
The first one is Shelley.
Is Shelley.
Yeah, yeah.
She kind of overreacts a bit, doesn't she? Shut it off.
Yeah.
Like really, really losing her nut. And I was a bit like, oh, Jesus Christ.
You were like, oh, we don't want to break her face.
I really want to break your face, love. It's just an incantation. Let him do his thing. Jesus.
So Scott's
calm
like,
down.
Scott's like, I'm going to break your face. And then he puts it back on. It finishes the incantation. Did you notice that the incantation ends with him going, Condor, Condor, Condor? And I was like, what? It's like talking to me.
I didn't notice that either.
Yeah.
There we go.
I was really into that bit. Just hearing my name.
Don't repeat it. Don't repeat that at home because you know what happens. Cat will be coming at you. Just like,
yeah.
Like any other night then.
Yeah. So, and that's like, that happened. Like this is maybe one of the reasons why I didn't enjoy this one as much as Evil Dead 2. Because once that happens and once the possessions start, it just kind of meanders around and it's just a series of people getting possessed, killed, possessed, killed.
yeah. And then they're inside, they're outside. They're inside, they're outside.
Exactly. Yeah.
Different people are possessed. So Shelley gets possessed first.
Well, so we should talk about Shelley's famous scene that got this film banned in many countries.
Banned?
So Shelley's like, fuck this shit, I'm running away. They play the incantation. There's some spooky stuff happening. I'm off. He runs into the woods.
I was in her jammies.
In her jammies. I was watching this with Kat, and I knew it was coming. And it's quite funny to see because it's like very low budget to see the trees come alive and they like intertwine around her legs and thighs and arms, so very bondagey. And then a tree just rapes her.
Does a rape.
Rapes one off.
Yeah, I know what you mean about the low budget stuff. There was a lot of just like twigs coming towards the camera that someone was clearly just like holding, coming towards it.
Just tickling over the twigs. Yeah,
tickling over the twigs. Yeah, I mean that scene. I mean, assuming you've seen the remake, the remake is like super violent, brutal rape.
Just at the side, what did you think to the remake?
I quite like the remake. I mean, I know what you mean. That it's pretty much comedy. There's no comedy in it at all.
But I really like that though. I really thought it was cool.
Well, I thought it was brutal.
The whole raining blood bit at the end. I was like, oh fuck me, this is
It was super gory. But I'm kind of glad that they didn't try and do an out for out remake, and they also didn't try and have an Ash like character.
Yeah, yeah.
I think if they maybe had done that, it would have been a lot more like, I don't know, who could have been like Ash in it. Like,
as soon as you do that, you draw comparisons, don't you? And
Jim Carrey in the Evil Dead remake.
That'd be pretty funny. So she gets raped, basically, and she runs back to the house. And then, so this is where the first possession starts. This is the bit where the other two girls are like guessing the cards that are on there. So one of them's like, what card am I holding? The other one's like, six of clubs. And all of a sudden, Shelley starts just saying them outright. And then it's that scene that always sticks in my head that, you will die! Like the others before you. And it's the first time you hear the Deadite voice. And the Deadite voice is ludicrous. Like, it's so silly. But I don't. It's still scary. It still creeps me the hell out.
I wonder how they went about doing that voice. I wonder how many different people were talking, how many different recording techniques they did, because it was pretty horrible.
Nowadays, you just put like a plug-in on, like a pitch-shifting plug.
Yeah, exactly. As I told you already, I've been playing Resident Evil 7.
Yeah.
And there's a very good Deadite-like voice from a certain character.
Yeah.
And I played it like hours after I watched this film, and I was like, shit, that sounds exactly the same as Evil Dead. And it's weird, it is ludicrous, but...
Do you think this is the first film that did that? That sort of weird,
multi-layered voice? Because like The Exorcist had quite a lot of...
Did it?
Weird,
When did that, stuff that, going that, on 78 or something, Exorcist. So.
I think Exorcist was maybe 78, maybe earlier. I'm not sure. But yeah, I think that was just a man's voice, if I remember. But I'm pretty sure it was synthesized in some way.
Yeah.
But that I think the Exorcist was the first creepy demon voice which I ever heard, where I was like, oh, Jesus, Will, is that me?
Yeah. And so already I'm watching this, The Evil Dead, and I'm waiting for the things that happen in The Evil Dead 2 to happen. So there's the bit they lock Shelley in the cellar, and yeah, in Evil Dead 2 there's the whole eyeball popping bit, and there's all that kind of ludicrous stuff that just makes that film so much more fun and watchable, I guess. Whereas this one, they're just sort of wrestling around the living room, and I understand because it's low budget and it's the first film directed. It is good and it is sort of scary and horrible, but it just kind of meanders around and I just got a little bit bored.
One thing that kind of took me out of it a little bit was like the makeup, the special effects were good, like, because it was almost like they were some of them were so ridiculous that it just looked so strange. You're just like, oh my God, what the hell? But I think the makeup was so inconsistent.
Yeah.
But one minute it would be like someone made up, and the next minute that would be the same character, but like clearly with a wig on.
Yeah.
And then with like completely different makeup, and it kind of like took me out of it a little bit, where I was a bit like, what's going on? I don't know if that was a conscious decision to make the demon transformation look like it was kind of like changing or something, but it did get to a point where I was a bit like, it does look a bit naff. It does look a bit like, it reminded me of Alan Partridge.
Yeah.
Do you remember Alan Partridge as a zombie with tungsten screws, his little claws, and he's got a flap of skin, which is a shower curtain.
Yeah.
No, a shower curtain. Yeah, it's a flap of skin. And it reminded me a bit of that, where it was just like, right, how can we turn these guys into the undead? I know, just slap some oil of ole cream on their head.
Yeah.
And ready to go. You know, put some bloody mayonnaise in their eyes.
But, I'm struggling even now to think about what even happens after that.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Because it's just a series of the being possessed.
It's a series of scrapping. People being possessed. So Shelley gets possessed, gets put in the basement, and then they sit around for a bit wondering what to do next. Then the next woman kind of gets possessed. I'm not sure how that happened. The three women got possessed first. What do you think that means?
I don't know. But is it three women? So I'm trying to think of the order of it. So Shelley, and then is it Cheryl, his girlfriend?
No, Cheryl's last. So it was the other chick. I can't remember what her name was. Yeah. She was the one who just came at Ash and the other dude for forever. It was like the longest, most drawn out. It was like a 20-minute fight with her.
Yeah.
And then she ended up getting sawn into pieces, didn't she?
Oh yeah, that bit was pretty gruesome.
Her
guts are like squirming on the floor, and there's this horrible noise that just goes on for so long. The sort of squelching noise. It's gruesome. Right, okay, so there's a knife in the basement that looks like it's going to be like the weapon to kill the deadites. Doesn't do anything. Like, it works for Like, it makes them cream for some reason.
Like, yeah, they were creaming.
They were creaming.
They were milking all over the place. They were milking out their mouths, milking...
Okay, and then... So, how does the film even end? Like, I'm struggling to even think, because...
So not long after that, Scott's obviously injured, and then Cheryl gets, like, after getting a pencil on her ankle, just gets put to bed, because, like, I know you've had a pencil on your ankle, I know that probably hurts, and it might get infected or whatever, but if I just put you to bed, you'll probably be all right in the morning.
Yeah.
So Ash puts her to bed, and then obviously she wakes up. She wakes up possessed, which is unfortunate, as a weird sort of creepy laughing, because the rest of them are like uber violent,
zombie-esque sort of demons. Yeah.
And she's more like a sort of laughing child.
Yeah, and there's a bit where there's like, she's laughing on the floor. The other guy is dying on the chair. There's and Ash is just sort of wandering around, like, going, oh, what should I do?
He does give her a couple of snifty little backhanders though, doesn't he?
Yeah.
She's laughing, and he's like, shut up. Slaps her about a bit.
Yeah.
Because why wouldn't you?
So how does the film end?
Well, then he takes Cheryl out to bury her after he kills her, because she tries to pull the old, I'm not possessed anymore, I'm all good, it's fine. And he's like, oh my God. And then Shelley does the same in the basement, gives in the old 1-2 of, I'm fine, I'm fine. Eventually, obviously, they try to kill him again, so he kills Cheryl and tries to bury her, and then there's a whole sort of like scenario where they're outside, and see, it's weird, this one, because I am struggling now to remember exactly what happened, but because not much does.
Yeah, like, there isn't really like a climax. I think maybe I seem to remember like the sunlight, because I'm getting mixed up with Evil Dead 2 again, so which ends with like him flying into a different time and dimension.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you looking it up?
Yeah.
What the hell happened at the end? Like, does he get in the car?
At the end, he just... So he goes back into the house, getting sort of attacked in the house, and... right there. This is really unprofessional. I'm really sorry.
Nice. I think this is like...
So Scotty is revived as a demon, and he attacks Ash when he goes back upstairs. Well, Cheryl savagely beats him with a fireplace poker. Ash gets his hands on the...
Here we go.
Ash gets his hands on the book and throws it into the fireplace. And then both Scotty and Cheryl decay. No, not Cheryl. Scotty and Shelley decay into blood and bones. Them decaying, so obviously the possessed Scotty and possessed Shelley, them decaying was insane. It was like about 500 different versions of like creature effects slash special effects, like really up close, like some fucking porridge just oozing out of
there. There was some porridge, like I noticed.
Porridge oozing out of a sleeve at one point.
So like the claymation is pretty gruesome, but yeah, there was some porridge. I did notice that.
But the porridge was lovely. Yeah, so then after it ends, Ash, covered in blood, stumbles outside as the sun begins to ride before he can get into his car to leave. The entity attacks him from behind and lets out the final scream. We forgot to mention as well that initially when they tried, when Shelley wanted to leave, they went back to the bridge which they came across, and it was sort of like all bent in horribly, like they were stuck there.
Yeah.
Stuck in a dimension. Again, very Cabin in the Woods.
Yeah. So
that happens all the time.
Yeah. So there isn't really an Act 3. Like,
no.
It introduces the concept, and then it just sort of meanders from Act 2. That's where this film sort of falls down, I think.
Yeah, I think this film it struck me as a film where they had a concept, and I imagine they had a lot of cool creature and special effects stuff they wanted to do, but rather than sort of go in with a solid idea of structure and acts and stuff, it was kind of like, well, we'll just... these people get possessed and Ash has to fight them off. That's kind of going to be it.
Yeah. Maybe this is why he went back. Well. Maybe this is why he went back and redid it, essentially, the Evil Dead 2.
Yeah, possibly.
Wanted to do it a bit better.
It's quite a short film as well. I mean, it's only like 85 minutes long, I think.
Mm.
So, I mean, that's pretty short.
What do you think to do the directing style? I mean, obviously, a lot of it's informed by sort of the low budget, but there's some interesting things. There's the whole... first person POV of the demon thing flying through the air, which is
that was good. It was like the embodiment of evil or something, wasn't it? Like we could see through the eyes of evil. I mean, that is another thing that when you see it, you're like, I've seen this so many times, but you know for a fact that this must have been one of the first times it was done.
I think reading up this was the first time that was done.
Yeah. So, oh right. Okay.
So that's pretty amazing.
So this was the first time like we've seen something from the POV of the creature or the evil or something in a horror film.
Yeah.
And I mean you get it all the time now, don't you? You get it in slasher movies, monster movies, any ghost movies, any sort of horror shit, you'll see something from the POV, and obviously certain directors elaborate on it much more where you actually be able to see a bit of whatever the threat is. But although I liked it, I could tell that a lot of this stuff was obviously done because of budget constraints, but there was a lot of stuff that worked, I think.
Yeah, I think obviously it's incredibly innovative, and I think you do have Sam Raimi's love of fluids. When I think of Sam Raimi, like I think of like blood shooting out the walls, vomit, and like There's always lots of icky fluids everywhere. Like, so Drag Me to Hell is another one on this list later on.
That's got a lot of fluids in.
Yeah, that's a great film. I love it. So Evil Dead 2 is full of fluids. Like, they're just so... He's a very juicy director, I have to say.
Spider-Man 2 is full of fluids. Tobey Maguire's fluids. You just can't see him, you know.
It's interesting that... So for Spider-Man, that classically it was like a web shooter, but Sam Raimi made it a fluid out of the guy's wrist.
Oh, right. There we go. Shazam!
Yeah.
Go, web, go!
jump scares. What did you think?
There were probably a couple of like jump scares, but nothing that I didn't see coming a mile away, really.
It tended to happen when they opened the door and they looked out the cabin, their heads were out of the thing, and then you knew something was going to happen then.
I think at one point when Shelley's hand came through the floor and grabbed like someone's ankle was a bit like, yeah, that was a bit fair. But pencil in the ankle, I mean, I know that's not a that's not a jump scare, but I was definitely like this. I couldn't handle that. HB as well.
It's not even just a quick like in and out. It goes in and then they're just sort of wriggling this pencil around the ankle for so long.
Yeah, that was gruesome. That was brutal. Ash got. I mean, he got fucked up a lot as well, didn't he? But he got like the skin torn off his legs at one point.
They're like scratching at his legs.
It's his legs.
I'd say that was the pencil in the ankle was a shit your pants moment for me. But more in the sense of just looks so brutal. Even like today, like if I saw that in today's horror films, I'd think it would still have the same effect on me.
Yeah, that's like a good. Horrible, like a body horror.
Yeah,
genuine. I mean, I felt the pain in it. But again, if you do get a pencil on your ankle, don't worry. Just put yourself to bed, and you'll be fine in the morning. Apparently, according to the logic of this film.
So, film is great. Not my favorite so far, but just because I think I'm struggling to see this without seeing it through the veil of Evil Dead 2.
Yeah,
but obviously it's been incredibly like influential. It's the whole cabin in the woods thing. It's the POV of the demon. It's a great film. It's amazing.
What do you think of the soundtrack as well?
See, I was thinking about that. I was struggling to even think what it actually was like.
There were a lot of ominous electronics.
Okay, that's bringing it all back.
Stuff like that, which I like. But again, 40 years of hindsight, especially with like the new wave of synth in horror films, stuff like It Follows, it kind of felt like, again, probably, to be fair, the soundtrack felt quite John Carpenter to me.
Mm.
It felt like it could have been a John Carpenter score. Because I've recently gone back to The Fog.
That's later on the list as well.
Yeah, well, this is the thing. I think I went back to that before we tackled this list. But a lot of ominous electronics in there. And I think it's a really good way of making a horror movie soundtrack because it's not too complicated. You kind of just get a few chords.
Yeah.
And it kind of does set the mood very well.
So again, like, I don't know... if this was one of the first films to do it like that, probably not. But it's one of the films that's watched all over the world by all these horror filmmakers and people who went on to make their own films. So it wasn't like, this film is a good film. And I want to stress that because it's an incredible film. It's done a lot, but just, I struggled to watch, like, I didn't enjoy it that much.
I think if you're gonna watch The Evil Dead, if you're gonna think, I've never seen an Evil Dead film, definitely watch this film, but do not think, don't watch Evil Dead 2 first if you've never seen any of them. Watch this, but then persevere with Evil Dead 2 and Army of Darkness, and just, yeah, to take up, because I was thinking of the legacy, yeah, of Evil Dead. As much as going back to this film after we've seen Evil Dead 2, it's hard to think about this film as being a masterpiece. But I think, yeah, we need to think about the legacy of Evil Dead and what this film meant for horror at the time, and what it eventually did mean for The Evil Dead as a franchise, essentially.
Yeah.
And also this kind of film becoming popular.
Yeah.
I mean, it is quite unique, isn't it, really? I mean, the horror comedy genre is one of those which, the majority of which, is pretty naff.
Yeah, so there's very few films that have nailed this tone. And I'm thinking of, like, An American Werewolf in London. And I'm thinking of Shaun of the Dead, where they are horror, yeah, films, but they're also pretty funny.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, American Werewolf in London is much more, that's nowhere near as slapstick as this, really, is it? But
no.
but I know what you mean. And Shaun of the Dead, yeah. Apart from that, I mean, it's hard to think about another sort of film.
Not many films do it very well. Like, it's very difficult to get that balance right.
Yeah, you can have, like, comedy elements in a horror film and horror elements in a comedy film, but to have a horror comedy film, as convoluted as that sounds,
yeah,
is pretty rare, really.
Yeah. So I've got some trivia for you. You say if it's true or false.
Okay.
We'll see how you do. The original script called for all the actors to be smoking marijuana when they are first listening to the tape. The actors decided to try this for real, and the entire scene had to be reshot due to their uncontrollable behavior.
Yes, that's true, I reckon.
Yes, that's true. Well done. The number two, the cabin itself. The cabin itself belongs to Bruce Campbell's uncle, who had been using it to store old furniture.
All right. False.
Oh, you're good at this.
Maybe
it's not that you're good at it. Maybe I'm just terrible at, like, I put so much more fewer details into the stuff I make up. Okay, so what about this? The film was shown to Stephen King, and it was his glowing endorsement that sold the film to the public and to New Line Cinema, who bought the film after that.
Stephen King?
Mm-hmm.
This definitely seems like something Stephen King would like, so I'm going to say that's true.
Oh, man, you are good at this. Three for three.
Oh!
And that's all the trivia I've got. So.
Oh, three for three?
Yeah.
Shit, dude. I'm getting good at this. Or maybe I'm lurking on IMDb, looking at the trivia section just before we do these things.
Yeah, you're practicing. You're, like, giving yourself, like, pop quizzes in the morning.
To be fair, with The Devil's Backbone, I did do that, and there were a few I kind of knew.
Yeah.
But with this one, I've gone in blind with this one, man.
Yeah. So
I'm good.
So we come to the end of the episode. Now at the time where we have to grade the films. This is a difficult one to grade, so I'll let you go first.
It is a difficult one to grade because, obviously, you don't want to be disrespectful to, as we've discussed, the legacy of The Evil Dead, because it's a very important film. But I think when I grade films, I'm going to grade it on the viewing experience I had at that particular time watching it. And I did feel a little bit like I couldn't concentrate 100% a lot of the time, because I was like, what's going on? Who's this? What's it?
Yeah, yeah.
So a C.
Mm-hmm.
I think a C is fair.
Okay. Well, I went with C+.
You're a C+, okay.
Because, like I said, yeah, it's a great film, and it will be an A for some people. Maybe the people who watched this first, and it was their first experience with Evil Dead, it's going to be an A for those guys, but not for me. Evil Dead 2 is my Evil Dead.
Yeah. I mean, I feel the same. I mean, in terms of, like, ranking all of them, Evil Dead's probably my favourite, Army of Darkness, close second. Can you include the remake in this?
thing is, it's really good. And so Evil Dead, the remake, it was very true to the Evil Dead franchise, but it was fresh and it was good and it was brutal and scary. So I really liked it.
I really liked it as well, and it was a completely fresh, it was a completely different take, wasn't it? So as much as it's what a remake needs to be. A remake, when people do play-for-play remakes, exactly the same film, exactly the same tone, exactly the same direction, exactly the same dialogue, that's when a remake really stinks.
Or can
be a big pile of shit. But with the Evil Dead remake, I kind of took it for what it was, which was it's not the same film as The Evil Dead. There's no Ash type character, and it's more of a horror than a horror comedy, and a pretty terrifying horror as well.
So I guess I have to give this one a C, like as an overall grade. And I think it belongs on the list. I'm enjoying the list so far. What about you?
Yeah, I'm enjoying the list. Pretty good film up next as well, one I haven't seen in a little while. So
I have not seen it, so it'll be my first time.
Oh, right. Okay. Oh, amazing. I haven't seen it for years.
It's called Audition. You know, when I think of... So I've just seen the screenshot of the image, and I haven't looked at like the synopsis or anything, but it takes me back to that time where we were doing the Comic-Con in Lincoln. No, it wasn't that. We were at Skip's house, and there was like... We were up till like 2 in the morning, and there was like... some weird Japanese film, and there's like a woman in like bondage gear kicking a guy down a set of stairs. He's like saying thank you. Like, I'm hoping it's not that film, to be fair, but
I don't think it was Audition. No.
Okay, good.
As far as I remember, I do remember us watching Football Factory. Now, is Football Factory on this list?
It's not, I'm afraid. No.
What are we even doing this for then? What's the point? Football Factory is not on this list.
I wonder if Danny Dyer is going to turn up somewhere. Neil Mascal has. He was in Kill List then.
Yeah, exactly. We've seen him already. So we might see Danny Dyer in something.
Yeah.
Let's every week, let's discuss Danny Dyer watch. And if Danny Dyer was in something, you know, great. If he wasn't, then the film gets...
Can you imagine Danny Dyer as a Deadite in The Evil Dead?
That'd be fucking terrifying. That'd be absolutely...
Fuck you up, you fucking mag.
I'm going to stripe you out, mate. I'm going to stripe you fucking out.
This list, it's been like a great like tour of the different types of horror, and I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, because essentially this, even though it's number 48 in the list of 50, this is essentially the first horror film, you'd say. If you said someone The Evil Dead, you'd automatically go, horror film, you know exactly what to expect. Whereas the other films obviously haven't been out and out horror film. So even though this is a horror with comedy elements, it is the first
horror
legit horror film.
Yeah.
Yes.
Cool. So the next film up is Audition. If you want to watch it, no one's stopping you, but I mean, get in touch, let us know what you think. Follow me at Twitter at Luke of Condor. That's Condor with K. Follow Ben at
Ben_Errington.
Cool. So this show is brought to you by the Story Studio Hawk and Cleaver. Head over to www.hawkandcleaver.com and grab a free book. Become a patron and get early access to episodes, bonus content, and heaps of free stuff at patreon.com/Hawk and Cleaver. Thanks. Oh, I still don't know the guy's name who did the music.
No. This guy is going to be absolutely furious of us.
Check the show notes for that. Thanks to Acast for hosting the show. Thanks to the listeners. If you enjoyed the show, give us a 5-star rating and review in iTunes. And remember to hit subscribe. Thanks to my co-host Ben for being a horror dude. Thanks, Ben.
Thank you, Luke. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. And I'm going to stop the recording, so see you next week.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. No matter what you do or what industry you're in, how you communicate is key. Everything you type is equally important to collaboration, and Grammarly can help. Think of it as your AI writing partner, empowering you to communicate effectively and efficiently so you can make a bigger impact in the workplace. 96% of Grammarly users say it helps them craft more impactful writing. And as the gold standard of responsible AI, Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. By understanding your writing in context, Grammarly provides relevant, personalized suggestions. And with tone suggestions, you can navigate even the most difficult work conversations. You can also save time from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds with one click. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.